Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Tyler. I'm the lead pastor here. Anyone notice anything different up here? There's no screens. All right. Well, the restrictions in some ways change. You know, they are a bit variable, and the latest ones allow us to not have these partitions up. So I was thinking of having a little ceremony where I'd have it here and kick it off stage, but I don't think insurance would have allowed for that, so we skipped that part of the service this morning. I just want to say again, it was such a blessing having Tyler and Winter and Hannah Grace up here. What's wonderful, and family, that's so great. They're going to have a little celebration afterwards. It's not open to everyone, but we're just so glad that you're here with us, and you're such a blessing to us, and I hope we can be a great blessing to Hannah Grace in the time to come. Okay, we are continuing our series called Re-Neighboring, which is really just a fancy way of saying re-loving. Last week, we took a little break from that as we said farewell to Pastor Ed for now, and I just want you to know that Pastor Ed, who, you know, he was with us for 3 years, his last week was last Sunday, he was tremendously blessed by all of your encouragement and all of your great words, and I'm just so thankful for that. He came away, blown away by the love he received, so I'm thankful for that. The week before that, we looked at how our model and how we should neighbor other people, or in other words, love our neighbor, is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus loved us in ways that, well, no one else ever could. He loved us unbelievably. Through his own expense, his own blood spilt on the cross, he gave those who were wicked sinners like you and me a way to the Father, a way for eternal life. No one has loved us like Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate good neighbor. He saw our need, and at his expense, he paid our way for eternal life. He is our model for how we should love one another. But he's also shown us how we can be neighborly, not just in huge cosmic ways. In fact, we can't lay down our lives for the forgiveness of another person. We can't do that. Only Christ can do that. But he did show us how we can lay down our lives for other people in other ways, in practical ways, in everyday ways. Ways like learning each other's names, ways like being present with one another, ways like having time for other people and addressing those needs. And we've learned so far in this series that we can do that in any context we find ourselves in, whether we're at work or at school or on the commute or anywhere in between those areas, we can be neighborly. We just need to remember to be neighborly, and that Christ has called us to love him and love our neighbor as ourselves. And I want this morning to talk about a particular context in which we can love our neighbors. We can love our neighbors at work, school, community, home, all of these other places, but here's a place where we can be neighborly to one another that perhaps we don't think of that much, even though it seems to be the most obvious. The place where we get the greatest opportunity to love one another and to be neighborly to one another is right here, in this gathering of believers, in the gathering of the church. Now, I just want to point out something here, that when I say church, a church isn't a building, okay? It's not a time on Sunday morning. It's not a service. A church is a people, a people of God in a local assembly. That is a church. And the church comes together for a service, this church at least, comes together for a service on Sunday mornings. And we gather together in special ways. And this morning, I want us to consider prime neighboring time. You may not get incredible opportunities to be loving towards your neighbors throughout the week. It just may not happen this past week. It may just never materialize. But every Sunday morning, as we are looking around and I'm seeing all of these faces, some of which I've never seen before, some of which I know quite well, I am seeing all sorts of new opportunities to be neighborly to one another. And so should you. As we look around, we see faces that each represent another opportunity to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you know what? When you come into a church, I don't know how many churches you've attended, and by that I mean the church gathering, okay? I don't know how many you visited over the course of your life, probably a lot. I bet you've had the sense of whether or not that church is a vibrant church or a declining church the moment you walk into the door. I bet you get that sense already. Because when you walk into the door at a healthy, vibrant church, it feels a lot different than a declining, unhealthy, immature church. When you come into a church that's on that end of the spectrum, you notice that people are kind of slipping in and slipping out, and there's not much chatter, there's not much conversation. People just whisper to their friends and kind of find their seat, and they slip in, and they slip out, and that's kind of the entire experience. But at a spiritually vibrant and mature church, when you come through the doors, what you see are people talking to each other, going deep with one another, praying for one another. Conversations go deeper than just the surface level, and they talk about their lives and their encouragements. You see handshakes, and you see hugs, and you see people laugh and get to know one another, and people build relationships with one another. You see that at a spiritually vibrant church. And I'm not saying Richview's fully here, and I'm not saying Richview's fully here either. But what I am saying is that you can tell if a church is building in spiritual vibrancy the moment you step in the door. It's because when people are neighboring one another, loving one another, learning names, being present with one another, having time for each other, responding to needs, you see that vibrancy flourish. If we want to be a vibrant church, it's going to mean we're going to have vibrant community. And for that, we're going to have to learn to be more neighborly, especially in the gathering of believers. And I don't think this is a minor thing. I think this is crucial to our mission as a church, to joyfully lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Because as we become a community that loves one another more, we are going to become the kind of community that is attractive to outsiders. When people come through the door, what they are hoping that they're going to be greeted with is an accepting, loving, vibrant community. We want to be attractive to people who don't know this church or don't know any church or don't know Jesus. In other words, we want to be the kind of community that people are looking for, but they just haven't quite found yet. We want to provide that opportunity for community. And to do that, we've got to be great neighbors, especially in the gathering of believers. I mean, if we're all on mission to love our neighbors as ourselves, where should we feel more love than a gathering of those very people? So we're going to be talking a little bit this morning about how we can be neighborly at church, at the church gathering. And I've only got three areas that I want us to look at. I'm sure there's plenty more, but here's at least three. Here's the first one. The first one is this: be present. I mean, this is the most obvious, and I know I've already talked about this before, but it is worth saying again. The most basic way in which God shows his love to you and to me is by being present. Jesus Christ came to the earth and was present with us. It's the most basic way he has shown love to us, and it's the most basic way we can show love to other people. I want you to open up your Bibles. It's going to be on the screen, but I hope you'll open it up in your Bibles or in your apps or whatever you happen to have, to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going from verses 24 to 25. These are the verses we'll be looking at. Hebrews chapter 10. Just so you know, on the way in the auditorium, there's a stack of Bibles that you can take. You can take one home if you'd like, but you can also bring it into the auditorium to use for the sermon. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. It says this: "And let us consider how we, the gathering of the believers, how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And that is the day of Jesus Christ's return. I want you to notice some of these highlights here. In several ways, this passage is instructing the gathering of believers to treat each other in specific ways. We are to spur one another on towards love, towards good deeds, and encourage one another. And those are all things that are pretty self-explanatory. But the thing is, all of these things are only possible if we do this one other thing. And it's the next highlight, not giving up meeting with one another. You see, being present at church, it's not a good in itself. It really isn't. I mean, I'm glad that we're here, but that's not the point of this passage. The point of the passage isn't just to be present, no. The point of the passage is that when we are present, it makes it possible to do these other wonderful things, spurring one another on in love and good deeds. It's not about slipping in, slipping out, getting the checkbox checked off. You know, I feel spiritually, you know, alive this week because I came to church. That's not the point. You know, being present at church isn't the point, but it is a necessity. Because without simply being present at church, we aren't able to do those other things that the passage tells us to do. Spur one another on in love and good deeds. And I know, we've thrown a big monkey wrench in this, haven't we? Especially over the past year and a half when we closed down services in response to COVID-19 and the restrictions. We had no in-person services. And we haven't spent much time talking about what the live stream means going forward. And I just want to assure you, to those who are watching from home, I just want you to know, we do not consider the live stream a necessary evil. Not at all. We consider it a necessary good. We want people to use the live stream. Absolutely, we want that. It's a necessary good. We just don't believe it's the best. The best is for us to be able to come together in person, to encourage each other, to spur one another on, to be with one another. So while this live stream is provisional, I hope that everyone who's used the live stream and continues to use the live stream, I hope we don't consider it permanent. Here's who the live stream is for going forward. This is who the live stream is for. It is for people who can't come out of necessity. Okay, we still want you to participate in the life of the church by witnessing it. It's for that. It is for people who shouldn't come out of love, right? If you have sniffles or if you're sick, I think COVID-19 has taught us one really important thing, that we can be loving to other people by not spreading our sicknesses around if we happen to be sick. And third, it's for people who aren't coming here yet. So let me break this down a bit. It's for people who can't come out of necessity. You know, people who are perhaps bedridden, who are too ill, who aren't mobile. I'm so glad that we have this opportunity for people to still participate in some way in the service. Absolutely. And for people who can't come out of love, again, there are reasons to not come. If you are sick and contagious, especially in this season of COVID-19, we really appreciate you watching from home and participating from that way. But it's also for people who aren't coming yet. And this is what I mean by that. There are people who want to just peek into the church, who aren't committed to the church. And I love the fact that we have a live stream to act as kind of a welcome mat for those people. Because perhaps they're just not comfortable, they're just not ready yet to come to see a service in person, but they want to get a taste. They want to get a feel for it. And that's what this live stream is for. And especially for people who perhaps don't know Jesus, but they want to see a little bit more about who Jesus is. I'm so glad that the live stream is here so that they can peek in without worrying about whether or not anyone else sees them, so that they can learn and hear about Jesus and perhaps join us later on. So I just wanted to give some guidance on what this live stream is for and just say, hey, we really appreciate, we want people to use the live stream. And yet we also so desire people to come here in person so we can spur one another on. Because church is embodied. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can be a fan of a sports team without going into the locker room, but you can't be on the team. You can be a fan of a movie. You can really enjoy a movie without being on the set, but you can't be in the movie. And you can enjoy church and watch church. You can do that, and that's good. But to be a part of a church is embodied. You've got to be here to encourage, to lift each other up, to handshake in the auditorium when, you know, it's appropriate to do so. You encourage when you sing out. I know when, you know, I was a worship leader at my previous church. When you're leading a song and you hear those voices sing out, you're encouraged. And I'm sure you're all encouraged in here when you see the person to the left of you or to the right of you sing out those praises. And you're encouraged when someone catches up with you and asks you for your name and asks how your week's gone. You're encouraged by that. We just can't do that unless we're here. So, yeah, going forward, the live stream is going to be a big temptation. It's not a problem this week because we got an extra hour sleep. But on the usual week, especially when we turn the clocks forward in the spring, it's going to be a real temptation. We're going to think, well, why don't I just go on the stream? Why don't I just do that? The cottage is calling. The kids are acting up. I'm having a fight with my spouse. You know, I just don't want to go. It's a discipline. It's a discipline to be here in person. A joyous discipline, but a discipline nonetheless. So here's what I'd say. And these are just basic, very basic guidelines. Okay, here's what I'd say. There are 52 Sundays in a year. If you're committed to the life of this church, some of you are just visiting and guests, welcome. Thank you for being here. If you're committed to the life of Richview Church, aim to be here for at least, I'm going to put a number on it. Can you believe it? I can hardly believe it. For at least 40 of those 52. Now you might be thinking, whoa, 40? Well, let's do the math. That's 12 weeks that you don't have to be here. That's 3 months. You should be able to step over that bar, okay? It's not a high bar. But at least 40. If you're committed to the life of this church, be here so that we can encourage each other. You know, there's some people who I see so infrequently, and they've been here for, you know, a long time at this church, and, it's hard for me to recognize them because they just haven't been here. I just really wish we would be here consistently so that we could all join together, encourage each other, spur one another on, learn each other's names, follow up with people, and be the kind of community that Christ has called us to be in loving one another. And why do we do that? Why do we want to be here present in person? It's because it allows us to do the second, much more important thing that's about to show up on the screen. Build relationships. Again, being present isn't the point. It's building relationships. It's encouraging. It's doing these things that lift each other up where we can love each other. I want to draw your attention back to the passage here. We're going from Hebrews 10, 24, and it says this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but... So what's the opposite of not meeting together? You would probably guess that the opposite of not meeting together is meeting together. But actually, according to this verse, the opposite of not meeting together is encouraging one another. The opposite of not meeting together isn't just being here, getting the checkbox done, okay, sitting down, okay. What we are missing when you're not here isn't the fact that, you know, we're in the auditorium and there's a blank space where your body could be. We just want your body to be filling that space. Or there's an empty chair where we just want your body to fill in that space and fill in the oxygen there. That's not what we want. What we're missing is you and your encouragement. We're missing the opportunity to, in other words, build a relationship with you. So I hope it's your goal Sunday by Sunday to encourage at least one person who's outside of your family circle, just one person. Some of you are amazing. Some of you are extroverts. Some of you just love people, love meeting new people, and you can encourage like 15 people on a Sunday. And you can do that, and you should do that. But for some of us, we just need a little push. Maybe we just need to encourage one person outside of our immediate circle. And if all of us are encouraging one person outside of our circle, imagine all the encouragement that's going to happen here Sunday by Sunday. That'd be great. Now, I'm not claiming everyone here is committed to the life of this church. There's visitors, people just peeking in, and that's all great. But if you are someone who is committed to the life of this church, you probably want Richview to grow. You probably want Richview to grow both in spiritual maturity and vibrancy, but also in number. Right? You want both. Not just one or the other, but both. Because you want more and more people to know Christ, to know the community found here. You want more and more people to experience the love of Christ in us. You want that. But you also want us to grow deeper into Christ, know more of him, enjoy him more, love him more. You want both. I want the same things. I want this church to grow, both in spirituality and also in number. And I want to ask you a question. And I want you to try and think of an answer here. How fast can a healthy church grow? What do you think? How fast can a healthy church grow? Here's an answer to that question. A healthy church can only grow one relationship at a time. You can grow a number faster, right? If you've got the celebrity speaker, or if you've got the cutting-edge facilities, or if you've got the music team that's just out of this world, you can get people to come. But if we want to grow as a healthy church here at Richview, it's going to happen one relationship at a time. People who are growing in genuine relationships with God and also growing in genuine relationships with one another. If you've been here for a long time, maybe you've been here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. If you've been here that long, it's probably because you have found community here. It's probably because you know that when you come on a Sunday, someone is going to look forward to talking to you, and you look forward to talking to someone else. It's probably because you have found friends here. And I think being neighborly, especially for those people who have been here a long time, being neighborly means extending that same community that you've experienced here with others who are looking for it. Because people don't come to church hoping that they get greeted at the door and greeted out the door. People aren't really looking for a friendly church. People are looking for a church in which they can make friends. That's a world of difference. A friendly church can set it all up. You've got the greeters at the door. You've got the people there. You've got the people there. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's shaking hands. But no one's building relationships. There's a huge difference between a friendly church and a church where you can make friends. So here's a challenging question for all of us, including me. When's the last time you made a friend at church? A new friend. Because if we're going to grow one relationship at a time, if our people aren't making any relationships, any new relationships, then we're not going to grow. So how can we build relationships? And I guess just the challenge is enough in itself, but let me just throw out a few ways that we can build relationship with one another. Here's a few. One is, remember names. I already talked about this. I think this is so important. Remembering people's names is crucial. It's so easy to start a conversation with someone when you know their names. It is. I can say to someone, good morning, Tabitha. Nice to meet you. Nice to see you. I'm glad that you're here. I can go to Tyler and say, hey, Tyler, how are you doing today? How are things? Now, if you don't know their name, it's also easy to start up a conversation. Hey, I don't know your name. Can I have your name? And maybe they'll tell you, and that'll be good. But knowing someone's name is so important. A relationship with someone just can't go anywhere unless we commit to knowing each other's names. Turn in your seat. That's code word for loiter. Turn in your seat. If you're sitting down, perhaps it's before the service or after the service, turn around, look around. See who's there. Is there someone there who you've never met before, or someone who you've seen for a long time, week after week, and you've just never gotten around to introducing yourself? Give yourself that little extra push and introduce yourself and say hi and welcome that person and maybe ask them, you know, have they been here before? And some people might say, well, this is my first week. And another person might say, I've been here for 30 years. And that's okay. You can say, I'm so glad I've met you now, and I'm sorry I haven't met you up to now. Turn in your seat. Loiter. Have conversations. Start off with just easy questions, like, how are you doing? Well, sometimes that's not such an easy question, but that's for another sermon. Redeem the clique. Here's what I mean by that. You all know what a clique is? Okay, it doesn't matter because I'm going to explain it to you anyway. So a clique. Here's what a clique is. A clique is a group of friends who are so tight, no one else can get into that group, right? And unhealthy church is filled with these cliques. You know, they're strong friends, but no one is getting into that clique. Now, there's actually good and bad to a clique, right? There's a good part of a clique. And the good part is those individuals who are in relationship with one another really love each other. They have a tight community with one another. That's good. The negative side is that, you know, it's to the exclusion of everyone else. You know, no one else can kind of get in there and build that relationship. And then someone like me, you know, a pastor or someone might say, the way that we should deal with the clique is for everyone to abandon your clique on Sunday morning, for everyone to not talk to your friends on Sunday morning, which is an approach and might be a good challenge. But here's what I'd say, and here's what I've experienced with close-knit group of friends that work at church. When I was in my young 20s, I started attending a church in Lindsay, Ontario, Fairview Baptist Church, and I would go with my mom. My mom would, well, basically drag me there, and I was there. And, you know, I would sit through the service. Everything was all good. Everything was fine. And there was a group of college and career-aged kids, early 20s over there, and they were definitely a clique. Like, they were just hanging out with themselves, just talking to each other, whatever. But this is something that they did every single week when I came in with my mom. They'd come over to me and say, hey, why don't you come over and sit with us? And I would say, no. And then the next week, they would come up to me, a different person would come up to me and say, hey, here you are again. Hi, why don't you come sit with us? And actually, we go to Swiss Chalet after every single service as a young adults group. And I would say, no. And then the next week, they would try it again, and I would say, no, thank you. And I think it took maybe, I don't know, like 3 months of them inviting me every single week before I said, okay, sure. And, you know, I got away from my mom and hung out with them. And you know what? Some of my closest friends came out of that group. And they reconnected me to the church at large. And they reconnected me even to my faith in some way. And it wasn't because they all abandoned each other. It was because they were willing to invite new people into their already vibrant community. You see what's going on there? So what I would suggest, and I think our young adults here are great at this, and I hope we all get better at this, if we do have two or three friends at the church, just be on the lookout for someone who you can invite into that community. And that actually might even be better than going one-on-one. Here's why. When you invite that person into your community of two, three, four people, that person might connect more with one of those three other people than they will with you. And they will network with not just you, but with your group of friends, so that they'll be able to not just rely on your relationship to feel connected here, but they'll have a network. You see what's going on? So I hope that you do have relationships here. And I hope you're also open to having new people, other people, join in your circle, join in your usual patterns, such that we can have more people connected here at Richview Church. Can we redeem the clique? That's a challenge. I hope you've got friends here, and I hope that you're also open to bringing in other people into that friend circle. And finally, follow up. And that one's easy. You know, when you have a conversation with someone, say something like, hey, I hope I see you again next week. That sentence is, sorry, I'm letting the cat out of the bag a little bit by sharing it with you all, but that sentence can be so powerful. I hope I see you again next week. Because that could be the difference between someone deciding that they're going to come next week or not, when they know someone is there looking forward to seeing them. Follow up. Get their number. Throw them a text. Have a coffee with them. 30 minutes of a coffee. Just let that person know that you're thinking of them throughout the week. And that could be the difference between that person continuing to connect with God and with the church here at Richview or not. Small things, some of these might work for you, some of them might not. But how can we build relationships here at Richview Church? And here's the thing, this has to be an all of us thing. It can't be just the pastors, it can't be just the greeting team, it can't just be the elders. It has to be all of us doing this. Here's a story that's happened, I don't know, at least 5 times over the past time that I've been here at Richview. A new person will come, I'll come and greet them, I'll follow up with them, maybe have a coffee with them, and I'd have some form of a conversation with them most Sundays. But then when I, as I start paying attention, I start to realize that the person who used to come every week, this new person, is now only coming every other week, and then only coming once in a while, and then kind of disappears. And I think, and I'm not sure, there could be so many other factors, but one of the factors at least must be that the only person that that person talked to was me on that Sunday, or on any Sunday. And when I stopped talking to that person because I had, well, you know, a bunch of other people that I wanted to connect with, there wasn't anyone else to build a relationship with them. It happens. Some people come into this church and they build relationships right away. But if we're all on the lookout, if we're all on the lookout for how we can build relationships with people, then perhaps we'll start seeing more evidence of spiritual vibrancy in this church as people grow in their relationships with one another. So why don't I challenge you with that? Let's build relationships with one another here at Ridgeview Church. Let's be neighborly towards one another. Finally, here's the last point, quick. Be gracious to each other. Be gracious. I want us to turn over to another passage, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, it's a few pages back there, verses 2 and 3, and I just want to read this, and I just want you to notice how many times this passage reminds us that we need to be gracious to other people. I mean, it's so condensed in there. It says this in verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay, in about 5 different ways, this passage is reminding us that we need to be gracious to other people. Why do we need such a reminder? Well, I find it's pretty obvious why we need such a reminder. Sometimes, in fact, many times, maybe most times, people are hard to love. Yeah, people are different, people are strange. And you know what? Church, sorry to say it, we've got the market cornered on strange. We do. We're kind of different. We're kind of weird. We are. It's okay. Embrace it. Embrace it, church. I'm the king of the weird, okay? We're all different. We're all strange. We've all got our quirks and our weirdnesses. We all do. Sure we do. Some people stand too close. Some people stand too far away. Some people never stop smiling. Some you've never seen them smile before in their lives. Some are too loud. Some are too quiet. Some are too trendy. Some are too old-fashioned. Some wear too much deodorant and perfume, and some, well, clearly not enough. We're different. We're a little weird. But that's why we need these reminders. To be humble and gentle, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity in this church. Because people are different and difficult. But that's what the church is full of, isn't it? The church isn't full of nice, perfect, all-together people. Any nice, perfect, all-together people here? No. No, the church isn't. The church is filled with broken people seeking for God. Different people who need God. Different people who need community and loving acceptance, and they're looking for it here. So we've got to be gracious. If our only friends at church are people who we would otherwise be friends with even if we didn't know Jesus, then we got to look into our hearts. Because maybe we're not being gracious. Maybe we're getting people to have to jump over a few hoops before I'll be in a relationship with them. Maybe they got to be this nice. Maybe they can't cross me the wrong way. Maybe that one time that they gave me some kind of a stink eye, I'll never talk to that person again. No. We're going to be gracious, being and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're going to be gracious. That's us. That's going to be in our DNA. A sure sign of spiritual vibrancy in the church is if we are able to overcome the weirdnesses, the strangenesses, the fallbacks, the character flaws of the people who are around us and love them anyway. Because that's exactly what Christ did for us. Christ looked down on a sinful, rebellious people. On a people who would not love him, who would not obey him, who would fall away from him and chase after every other foreign god, every other idol, every other pleasure besides him. That's who we were. But God, in his grace, sent his son to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life in him. God was gracious to us. That's the attitude we're going to have to everyone else who comes into the doors of Rich Tree Church. Neighboring at church is not a program. It's not someone else's job. It's all of ours. And if God should bless us, if God should bless this church in the next month, in the next year, in the next decade, in the next two, should God bless us, we're going to see people who re-engage with this church, who come back to this church, who've never been to church before, who are just visiting, who are just walking by. We're going to see new people coming to the doors. And are we going to be ready as a church, as a community, to receive them as our neighbors, to welcome them, to build relationships with them, and to graft them into our community? Are we going to be ready to do that? Are we going to be ready to grow as a church spiritually and in number, one relationship at a time? That's our challenge, church. To love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, especially here. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help. We need your help as we are nervous and shy and withdrawn at times. Sometimes we're belligerent, too outgoing, too forceful. Lord, I pray that you would give us grace and help from the Holy Spirit, that we might be a community that is so attractive to the outside world that they will want in to know what we are all about. Lord, may we be a community of love and of acceptance, and may people of all type find a home and a loving acceptance here at Richview. Would you work this in us, I pray, by the power of your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.